Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Hey, Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for joining me, friends, on the NOLA Drink Show. That's right, kicking off your happy hour and hopefully getting your weekend going in the right direction. And as always, to my radio listeners, the views of this host and this show certainly do not reflect the views of much of what you will find on this station. That is correct. Always want to remind you, if you're a radio listener, go to noladrinks.com. Check out the podcast. Why? Because we always do a podcast-only segment called Another Shot with Nola Drinks. If you go there right now, this week's show, which I'll get to in just a minute, is there waiting for you with said extended podcast segment. So go check that out. You can get to our podcast from our website, again, noladrinks.com, or on any number of your favorite podcast platforms, and all the links are right there on the website. Latest episodes at the top of the homepage, and all kinds of other good stuff you'll find there. As I mentioned, really good show here this week coming up. Excited to do this. We have our friends from the Bayou Boogaloo Festival, which is happening next weekend, Friday, May 20th, Saturday, May 21st, and Sunday, May 22nd, right there at Bayou St. John in Mid-City. Never had a chance to chat with these guys before, and it was kind of a cool bit of happenstance that it worked out, because the show next week I'll get to, I had to move back a week because of some scheduling conflicts, and they had reached out to me, and I said, hey, you know what? I got some time for you, and I'd love to have you come on the show. So it's really cool. We're going to be chatting with Jared Zeller, who is the festival director and also president of Friends of Bayou St. John, along with James Cleese, the wonderful chef and restaurant owner. He just wants to be called owner of Cleese's and Cleese's. And he's going to be out there cooking crawfish and some dirty rice and other stuff, and just talking about the food program. And then Tanya Vidal, who is the vendor coordinator for the event, because not only is it a terrific music festival with all kinds of wonderful musicians, there's the food that I just mentioned, great drinks going to be out there, and also lots of artists, something like 60 artists, I think. So Tanya's going to talk a little bit about that. We talk about the festival, and on our podcast only segment, we get into a little bit of the history of Bayou St. John and its cultural and aesthetic importance, here in New Orleans. It's a really interesting place. So if you're not from the area, if you do come pay us a visit, do go check out Bayou St. John. Hopefully you can coincide it with Bayou Boogaloo, whether it's this year, next week, or next year when they do it again. They're back in full force after doing a scaled down event last year due to COVID, and then the previous year not doing it at all, like so many things in our world, right? Next week's show coming up. Yeah, I think I mentioned this last week. My friend Leah Hoyt, who is the president of the New Orleans Concierge Association, will be joining us along with one or two of her colleagues, just talking about the world of being a concierge in New Orleans, what it's like now that we're essentially in a post, not post-COVID world, friends. Get your shots, get your boosters, do what you're supposed to do. That's right. But in a post-pandemic world, I guess it's fair to say, now the tourism is returning here to our great place. And it's going to be a really interesting conversation. Looking forward to having them on. And one other quick programming announcement coming up. We're going to take a little break over the Memorial Day weekend, working on some stuff after that. One of those shows will be our annual Tales of the Cocktail preview. That's right. That's going to be coming up. We're going to be chatting with their CEO, Eileen, who was on the show with me, I believe, in January. And we're going to let you know a little bit more formally about what to expect at Tales this year at the end of July, starting July 25th. Going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to talking to her, so be on the lookout for that. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and then we're going to be back talking about Bayou Boogaloo. Come on back.
Located at the Frenchman Hotel, Midnight Revival pairs live music with an exciting beverage program. Our new spot on Frenchman Street offers classic cocktails, but it's the tropical libations that will keep you coming back. Midnight Revival even has our own take on the hurricane, called the Champion of the World, made with passion fruit liqueur and a blood orange puree. Visit Midnight Revival at 417 Frenchman Street, follow Midnight Revival NOLA on social media, or visit midnightrevival.com for the latest updates on sips and sounds that await.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. Happy to have you here as always. You know that. Happy to be here at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Thanks to them for hosting us, as they so often do. Really excited to bring you this show. As you know, we are chatting with three of the folks from the impending Bayou Boogaloo Festival, which is back in full force. there in Bayou St. John in New Orleans. And welcome my guests here. We'll start off with Jared Zeller, who is the the executive director of Friends of the Bayou and the festival director. Did I get that right, Jared?
Close enough.
Yeah, okay.
President of Friends of Bayou St. John.
I was president. Okay.
And director of the festival.
Got it.
Thank you, Brian, for having us today.
Absolutely,
it's nice to do something different.
Yeah.
Get out and talk to people, right? Instead of logistic land.
Yeah, there you go. Talking about ticketing
events.
And
yes,
all that stuff that we were talking about before, which we will not talk about much other than what you need to know on this show. And also James Clessy, who is the owner of Clessy's. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you here. Thanks for making it. And we'll get to you in a little bit, too, on this, James, because you're going to be up there cooking up some mean vittles out there at the festival.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. That's exciting. And Tanya Vidal. And Tanya, you are the vendor manager. And apparently, I've just learned, also in charge of all children's programming at Bayou Boogaloo.
Just about all. Yes. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So really excited because we've done shows with our friends at French Quarter Fest and things like that in the past. But this is the first time I've been able to have you guys on talking about the fine event that is Bayou Boogaloo. And man, I'll start with you, Jared. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the festival? Because it is certainly, I would always say, maybe I'll put it this way, like, kind of look at it where there's sort of a big two of music festivals, or had been in New Orleans, right? Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest. I think we're not creeping into that territory where we can say we got a big three, which is championship level stuff, I think, talking about basketball.
That's humbling.
Oh, that's awesome. Tell us about the festival, man, and how it came to be.
Yeah, no, thanks. Look, it was a post-Katrina project that, I had done some things on a small scale personally, managed artists, promoted artists, musicians mostly, did some small scale promotions at venues during Jazz Fest or French Quarter Fest, things like that. And so I remember Super Sunday really being the event that brought the location to light for me, really pre-Katrina. Went to the Super Sunday event. I lived in Mid-City, and I'm like, man, this space along Bayou St. John is just killer. And nobody is really utilizing it for events, other than Super Sunday. At least I hadn't experienced anything on the Bayou other than Super Sunday. Mm-hmm. So fast forward. So I had the idea, and then fast forward to Katrina, and we're all evacuated, and I remember being in a hotel room in Birmingham, Alabama, and watching the news and watching that Coast Guard helicopter. I don't know if you remember that image, but it crashed on Bayou St. John, and more or less. And folks were being rescued from the location because it's kind of naturally high, has a little bit of a bank to it. And I said, man, that's it. We have to go back there and do something positive, to kind of bring the neighborhood back and, further another dream I had personally, certainly. But that's where the idea was sparked. And then I immediately called my attorney and a graphic designer and said, I want you to print some T-shirts and I want to start this 501c3, which later became Friends of Bayou St. John. And that was how it started. Got back to New Orleans and partnered with some neighborhood groups and some neighbors, and we rolled the dice in 2006.
So, and the intention. So, you started out with a music festival focus in mind, right?
Yeah,
was it one day out of the gate?
Was it? It was.
Yeah,
that's right. It was. Yeah, one day, probably Saturday.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so I guess that year I realized that The location was excellent for an event, and people were really jazzed about it. And, that fed my ego, probably. And, we actually made a little money, and we gave it to the Neighborhood Association, and that was it. Then I think I got really into trying to grow it, and for better or worse, yeah.
right. Whenever you do something like that, it's... You create a whole new set of problems every time you scale up.
Every time, yeah. Right. So, for the last, I would say the last 7 years, 8 years, we've been at a very similar footprint. Mm-hmm. I realize that what we have is nice and don't need to get much bigger in terms of programming. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Well, let's talk. Let me go to James here for a second because let's talk about some food stuff and Tanya, you as well, because I want to come back and we'll talk about the music and a little bit more of the specifics of the schedule and kind of the music focus. But since this is primarily a food, drink, and culture show, let's talk about the food, man. So tell me, what does it mean for you to be out there at the festival, bringing your good cooking to it.
Well, it's definitely one of our most anticipated events in the year here at Klessie's. We look forward to it. Staff loves it. Everybody wants to work Boogaloo. It's so much fun seeing the crew out there every year. It's like it's like a family reunion every year.
Yeah.
And we definitely missed the last year or so. We did participate at the last one, but the one that we had to
microburst.
Right. That one, I mean, it worked, but we're looking forward to being back on Bayou St. John and
doing the full Monty then.
Correct. And we'll be bringing our crawfish trailer out. We'll be boiling a bunch of bugs out there, and we'll also be serving our dirty rice.
Nice.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're anxious to do it. I want to say this is our, I don't know if it's our seventh or eighth year working with Boogaloo.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an honor to be a part of this organization.
And getting out there and cooking with some of your peers in the industry too, right? I mean, that's got to be a good part.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we try to make an effort to be right next door to Mid-City Pizza, which is our buddies. We kind of cut our chops on Bank Street next to each other. So it's I get to hang out with them. They're at the booth right next to me, and we get that camaraderie going, and we trade pizza for crawfish. And
oh, that's a good, can oh, I get, yeah. Can I get in on that game?
Yeah.
All right. that's cool. Awesome. Well, and Tanya, let me ask you this, because then, so we know we have food and we have music, and we'll get to the music in a bit, but I think we have some other vendor action going on out there, don't we?
Yes, we do. Probably less than we have in the past, but we do. As Klessie mentioned about being next door to Mid-City Pizza, it's like that's a Bank Street corner, because, of course, now we've got Bub's Burgers that's joining in.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
They'll... Y'all, the trio will be right
there. Right.
Nice. Hamburgers, pizza, crawfish. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We've got an amazing lineup. You want to see it?
Yeah. What's that, Tanya? Say that again.
Yeah, we have an amazing lineup. We have some of our regular vendors who have returned, you know, Agent Cage and Four of Us Catering, Fresh Fruit Sensations. And then we have several new vendors that are coming out this year as well, because unfortunately we've, as probably most people have realized, we've had a lot of losses. Not only, you know, we've had some deaths in the culinary world,
sure,
but a lot of restaurants have gone out of business and
sure,
or just can't find the staffing to do these
right
events anymore. You know,
yeah,
it's been really, I kind of been on pins and needles, you know, wondering, are we going to be able to get, you know, our lineup back? And we're really sad that some of them will not be returning, but we're thrilled with some of the newer vendors that we have coming in. So
how does it work, and thank you for sharing that, because that's obviously something that's affecting everybody trying to do anything like this and the yeah service industry and hospitality industry in general. But how does it work when are the food vendors kind of interspersed throughout the venue, or is there sort of a food area?
Traditionally, there's been two food areas. They are lined up along, well, what is now is Francis.
Norman C. Francis. Formerly yeah Jeff Davis, right.
Thank yeah you. Norman C. Francis between Toulouse and Orleans. And then we used to have another food area that was like a built-out deck with daiquiris and drinks and food closer to the Domain stage. We have done away with the food deck, but we will be having two food trucks in that area. So
oh, fun.
We're
okay
still maintaining that. We just now are integrating food trucks into it.
Got it. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really exciting. So how many, maybe you're still going to be adding some, but how many food vendors are you thinking?
I think we're at about 24 right now with food
yeah
and drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and how, and I'll, should I flip this to you, Jared? How does the drink portion of this work? So you guys have bars and
as much as possible.
Yes. Thank you for coming on this show. Yeah. So, that's kind of an exciting part too. Cause right, we can get adult beverages and non-adult
yeah
beverages
absolutely
out there.
Yeah. No, we have some great beverage partners. We've had beverage partners over the years. We just, you know, did some new deals this year. So Tito's is coming in as a sponsor, and
cool,
Proximo has a portfolio. Proximo Spirits has a portfolio,
yep,
and they've been partners with us for a while. So Cuervo is their lead brand, I would say, and Kraken yep Rum. And so we make our daiquiris actually with Kraken Rum, which is important for people to know, because we don't cheap out on it. We don't buy the cheapest rum. Thank God we have a great partner that has been really good to us. And so we have some higher end rum that we use in our daiquiris that you will not get at most festivals because the cost of goods. But
sure,
you know, thankfully we have a good partner that helps us lower the cost of goods, and we're able to provide a better product, I think, with respect to that. Boodles Gin is another brand that's out there. So we'll have a number of spirits, and then also we have some great partners at Southern Eagle, Urban South, and Pacifico. So we'll have several. We'll have the Urban South team out there, and they're always cranking out some new products. So I'm sure they'll bring some new stuff on their trailer. Paradise Park has been their lead lager, I think, in the market, is priced right, and people seem to be eating
it up.
That's
good day drinking stuff there.
It's good day drinking stuff. That's a really good point. And, the ready-to-drink products and the wines in the can and all those things that are coming. There's so many of these products right now. It's hard to know which one is the best fit. But seltzer is another big line out there all these folks are producing, and I'm sure they'll look to do some sampling at the festival and try some new stuff. So, yeah. Drink plenty and drink lots of water
sunscreen.
My philosophy is one alcoholic beverage to one water most of the time and try to balance it out. But we have some. We also, I need to mention this, is that Mid-City Yacht Club and Pals Lounge, they have been partners with us probably for the last 13, 14 years. They staff our bars. And so
it's just going to ask that.
So it's all local people working in the bars at the festival, more or less, which is really cool. And, people are, like James is mentioning, it's sort of a family reunion, and people are seeing their friends. And there's a lot of people that volunteer at the bars to help these guys pull off the staffing load. So it seems really fun. I know that the volunteers that are working, the people that work the bars always have the most fun, I guess, right? So we'll do our volunteer call outs. It's like, we want to work that location. I'm like, no, that's full already, so nobody wants to pick up trash.
So that, yeah, right, fair enough, right. So that's really cool, man. I was going to ask you that about who staffs the bar. So that's really cool that you're bringing in local bartenders and stuff like that to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure doing a lot of cocktail batching.
We do some batching, absolutely.
That makes life a little bit easier.
It does.
Yeah,
it
cool.
Does.
Awesome. Well, we got about 2 minutes or so before we take our first break. So, James, you said you're going to be out there. You're bringing a truck, your food truck, which I didn't.
Yeah, I got this really cool custom crawfish boil trailer. Its capacity, we could do 1,000 pounds in one boil.
Oh, geez. Wow.
And if I stagger the pots, I can do a continuous drop of 350 pounds back to back to back to back. We won't be doing that much. Hopefully we do. But I want to say at one of our busiest boogaloos, we were selling at least 200 pounds an hour.
Wow.
And just cranking it out. And looking forward to hopefully having another weekend like that. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. So, I mean, you can just turn it over and turn it over.
And it's a fun experience to watch the process. And that's what's cool about Boogaloo is having the trailer up front by the vending area where the patrons can walk up and watch us wash and clean the crawfish, take pictures, ask us questions about the whole process. And it's quite a spectacle because the trailer itself has we put a bunch of cool lights on it and has an electric winch that picks up the baskets of crawfish and drops it into boil pots. And it's a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Let me ask you this question, kind of a tangent, but since you deal up close and personally with crawfish as a significant portion of your business and your cooking, how's the year been, man, so far, like price versus quality? And
it's been good.
It's been a good year?
It's been good. It started off a little pricey, and it got really low, then it got pricey again. But that's par for the course.
It's kind of the name of the game.
Yeah. It's I don't think it's outrageously different than just about every other season.
Kind of the same,
Sometimes it starts a little sooner. Sometimes it ends a little sooner. It's all about Mother Nature. She makes the rules.
There you go. Fair enough. And you guys, I think probably the sweet thing about with the festival, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I know we kind of continue to push the bounds of when Crawfish Festival is around here. But like to me, this is the end of the best part of the season is when you guys are doing it. Because then after that starts to kind of, in my view,
prime crawfish season right now. Yeah, so the fact that it coincides with the Boogaloo placement in the year, it's serendipitous. It's a good match.
Awesome.
And the restaurant's right down the street too, so it's convenient for logistics.
So if you forget something, you can just shoot on back, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's do this, you guys. Let's take a little break here on the program. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about some music and some other things because that's also the focus of Bayou Boogaloo Friends. We're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Hey, everybody, Roger here with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Be sure to check out Nitty Grits Podcasts, a growing network of shows about food, drink, and culture. Visit southernfood.org for more.
I'm Liz Williams, host of Tip of the Tongue on the Nitty Grits Podcast Network. Join me and weekly guests for conversations about food and drink and the people who create food culture around the world. The show is for the curious, hungry for food knowledge. My new book, Nonna's Creole Italian Table, about the Sicilian community in New Orleans, can be pre-ordered from Amazon. Learn more about Nitty Grits Podcast Network at southernfood.org.
Goodbye, Joe. I got to go. Mi old Maya.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for joining us on the NOLA Drink Show. We're talking about Bayou Boogaloo coming up May 20th, 21st, and 22nd, Bayou St. John there in mid-city of New Orleans, and really excited to have the festival back in full force. And before we start talking about music, which is, you know, a big deal there, Bayou Boogaloo, we know that. We've been talking about food quite a bit. Tanya, will you tell us, because there's we got some artists out there doing some cool stuff as well.
Do we?
Yes.
We have 60 local arts and crafter designers as well. Everything's locally handmade, regional artists, because we do have a couple artists from out of state. But yeah, we have amazing art, photography, glass, ceramics, painting, textile, clothing, jewelry, you name it. We have it all there for every taste.
That's really cool. So is there kind of like an artist village kind of area? Is that
yep,
the idea?
It's an art market. The art market's located between Orleans and Dumaine. So it's three rows of Bayou, Middle, and Street. So you can spend all afternoon there, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's really fun. So, yeah. And everybody's out there all 3 days doing their
yep.
thing.
Okay. Starting Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Awesome. So, Jared, let's talk about the music, because first and foremost, it is a music festival. Mm. And we were talking during the break about all the great acts that you have going on. But maybe let's start here. Like, how does the layout work as far as performances, like multiple stages and all that good stuff? You know, yeah. what can people kind of expect when they tour around and check out the tunes?
Sure. I think most importantly for people that haven't been there is envision a linear event. It's a linear festival. It's on the banks of Bayou St. John. So
you mean like the layout being linear?
Yeah, okay, it's very linear. So it's long. It's, I don't know, six blocks maybe, city blocks probably of programming along the bayou. And so it's bookend, if you will, with stages, and there's a couple in the middle. So think about a linear event, and there's two stages on the end and two in the middle. So we have a main stage. I would call it our main stage. This year is sponsored by Friends of Bayou St. John, actually our nonprofit. But that's kind of our main stage, and we'll get to the artists, I guess, in a little bit. And then we have a kid stage kind of behind that at Orleans Avenue, and we have some programming in there. We have some arts and crafts. We have some music programming. We have some dance groups. We have some puppets. We have performance artists kind of in the kids area, right?
Correct.
So there's a lot of that happening, which Tanya has worked really hard on to program. And then we have the Dumaine stage, which is on Dumaine Street. That's sponsored by Urban South this year. And that's mostly local bands performing on that stage. We do 90-minute sets. We get 30-minute changeovers. And that thing runs, you know, Friday evening from 5 till 9. And then Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. thereabouts. So that's running pretty much all day consistently. And that's a real kind of cool neighborhood vibe. Oak trees around it, and I think people really love that stage because it's very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll mention this: we had another stage at Lafitte Street, which is the end of Bayou St. John, and that was the bookend towards Canal Street. And you know, during the pandemic, we were looking for ways to, oh God, if we have to drop a stage or save money, you know, which we're still looking to do, obviously. But you know, how do you reduce your risk during a pandemic?
Yeah, sure.
And we're like, okay, well, that's maybe a stage that we could lose and still try to pull off the festival. anyway, we got creative, I guess, is the bottom line. And for years, I've wanted to do a floating stage on the bayou.
Yeah.
Many years ago, we actually built a barge and super sturdy and cost some money to deploy it. Requires a crane. Anyway, a friend of ours bought a crane, believe it or not, and so now he's going to help us launch that as a sponsor. Yeah, Trees, you're listening.
Okay.
So so anyway, we're going to have a floating stage this year in lieu of the Lafitte stage.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Can people still, because I think one of the bits of imagery that I always associate with the festival, can people still be out on their own little watercraft in there in the bayou?
Yeah, floater? No, it's one of the things that makes us unique is having a festival on a waterway, a historic waterway. There's going to be some changes to that. You know, over the years, it's gotten really popular. People started producing their own barges and floating rafts, and while we love that aspect of the festival, it also creates some challenges with respect to litter and environmental stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be some things required to do that aspect, the floating raft thing. But, you know, canoes and kayaks, you know, we encourage people to come. And those, because that's what makes us unique, is people enjoying the festival on a watercraft of some sort.
Yeah, for sure. When did it go from, because I'm assuming, and I wasn't here then, but I'm assuming when you first started out, it was primarily local bands, right?
Yeah, and I would say it still is.
It's still,
more
or
less. Okay. I mean, you know, we typically will get a national touring act, you know, but you think about it, all of our local bands end up being national bands. Like, look at the Revivalists and Tank and the Bangers and Big Frida. Anders Osborne, they've all played the festival, some of them, numerous times. And now they're, like, touring the world, you know. You just never know who you're watching at the Bayou Boogaloo that might be the next big thing.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, that's
so
super exciting about that.
That's kind of the fun aspect of it is...
Comes from being in a world-class music city.
It doesn't hurt.
It
doesn't hurt. So it's kind of nice to, you know, try to find out who that next big thing is, have them at the festival, and just watch their growth and development. It's fun to see.
How do you guys select the music then? Because I'm sure a lot of people want to play the festival.
There's no shortage of people that want to play it. I mean, the reality is that we try to mix it up every year. We try to keep the programming diverse and different, and give people an opportunity actually to play it. There's a lot of events that book the same artists over and over, and we just feel like that's not who we are. We want to give people an opportunity to play it. And we've only had a few artists actually play it more than once.
Okay.
Anders is a tough one to say no to. He lives in the neighborhood. And, you know,
because he'll just wander over with his guitar, right?
He literally rides his bike to the festival. But we just try to keep it different and change up the lineup. So we in 2019 and 20, we had a submission process. So people would submit their packets, and then we would score them. We had a volunteer panel of judges that would score the submissions, and we thought that was the fairest way to pick people.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out, and we did it for 2020, and then you know what happened. So we tried to give all those folks an opportunity to play in 2022 because we had already decided to book them in 20.
Yeah.
And obviously there's been some changes.
But sure.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So how many acts do we have total?
That's a good
do we
question.
Know?
I want to say, roughly 45 to 50.
So in the way you do it, then you have it scheduled so that it's staggered, so there's music happening on at least one or two of the stages at all times, mostly? Or?
We used to try to do that, and to the best we can. Like, the area between Orleans and Lafitte, we would bounce the stages. We would alternate the stages and really push people to move, if you will, because it's linear. So we want them to walk and go through the food vendors and see the rest of the festival, not just really get stuck in one area in a chair. And so we alternated it to do that. And so that's been our, and we can't do that on all the stages, obviously. There is some bleed, if you will, you know, between the stages.
Sure, absolutely. That's cool. Really exciting. Let's do this, you guys. Let's go ahead and take a little break now, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more, highlight maybe some of the music acts. I'm going to ask James when he gets out from, you know, boiling crawfish where he wants to go eat and check out, highlight some of the food, stuff like that. And we're, of course, going to let you know all the basic 411 stuff that you need to know to attend Bayou Boogaloo here coming up in just a few days from when you're hearing this, friends. I'm going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Dad's been shucking dozens since 42. Iron tub ice down full of Falstaff brew.
The next time you're on Frenchman Street, let the sound of live music lead you to Midnight Revival, where the night is always young. Find your spot at the bar or by the stage with your new favorite drink in hand. Live music that pairs perfectly with our lineup of tropical drinks and classic New Orleans cocktails. See what's on the menu at midnightrevival.com. Find out who is playing by following us on Instagram at Midnight Revival NOLA. Find us at 417 Frenchman Street in the Frenchman Hotel, and we'll see you soon for some sips and sounds.
Hi, Brian Diaz, host of the NOLA Drink Show here. Check out Nitty Grits Podcasts, a growing network of food, drink, and culture shows. Visit southernfood.org for more.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. Happy to have you here. Happy to be talking about the fantastic food, art, and, of course, music festival, Bayou Boogaloo, coming up here May 20th, 21st, 22nd. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, folks, right there at Bayou St. John. Y'all, we were talking a little bit about the music most recently. Let's highlight some of the acts. And I'm going to throw one out there because, James, we were just talking about this during the previous break. Squirrel Nut Zippers, man.
Yeah, man. I'm stoked.
Yeah, me too. You were saying, you were like me. I bought that CD when it first came out because that was like, what, early 2000s, right?
No, it was 90s. It was the 90s. Mm. Oh, yeah. I was trying to pinpoint the year when that big single, I think it was Damnation. Is that
That sounds right. Yeah.
Well, it was... I think I was like 96. I was trying to pinpoint where I was in the world. But I can remember doing homework at my kitchen table in 96. I was a sophomore in high school, and I had that CD for sure. And it's I enjoyed that whole CD front to back.
That's a cool rec. And you know what? And that's right, because I remember I actually bought it at Tower Records in San Francisco. So that easily dates the fact that it had to be in the 90s because it wasn't around anymore after that. So
yeah. That's right.
So what are y'all some of the other anybody throw out some of the other musical highlights that we want to be aware of?
I'm going to fangirl over Ani DiFranco. Yeah. I'm just going to say that.
Good. Yeah, that's exciting. Is that then the first time that she's played the festival, I assume?
It is. Yeah, we're excited to have her. And let's start on Friday. We have a burlesque show.
Cool. Who's doing that one?
Inferno Burlesque.
Okay.
Naomi is their leader there, and we've got Dragon Smoke, which people may not know that name, but it's Ivan Neville and a couple of guys from Galactic, Stanton Moore.
Oh, no way.
And those guys. Okay. And Eric Lindell also is the vocalist in that group.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Rebels are closing out that Friday night. And then Friday is a short day for us. It's not for us, but for the attendees. 5 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. That's our programming schedule on Friday night. And then on Saturday, as Tanya mentioned, we have Ani DiFranco. We have Los Carnales, which is a group from Mexico that we found. Not Mexico, from
Texas.
South Texas. It does some Latino music and Mexican
Latin
music.
Latin ska.
We've been keeping up with them for a few years, and they've really grown. So we're excited about having them. Something a little different. And then we have a brass band. So the floating stage this year is going to be a brass band stage,
okay,
if
cool.
you will.
Awesome.
So we're going to have a lot of local brass bands, the Sunshine Brass Band, the Shake 'Em Up Jazz Band, Kings of Brass, the Big Six Brass Band. So we try to reach out to a lot of the local brass bands for that element. Saturday we also have Red Barat, one of my personal favorites this year, which is really an international group that does like Indian music. And it's really, really entertaining.
Awesome.
Lots of percussion. And that's definitely going to be a crowd favorite. And then Big Chief Monk Boudreau and the Golden Eagles. I think Monk was just nominated for a Grammy these years. So we're so happy that he's around. I think he's 80 years old now and still doing it and still having fun.
Yeah.
And so we're super excited about that. And then local... social media sensation Joshua Starkman of Have a Great Day is putting together his group, the New Soul Finders with Mark Stone.
I gotta tell you really quick. Sorry to interrupt, Jared. So
sure.
I actually took a few guitar lessons from Josh Starkman a few
years
ago.
Oh, did you really? Yeah, right. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's why I know that guy. And actually, and you're getting in with the new Soul Finders of Mark. Mark's a very good friend of mine. So that's a great group that he's put together.
Right. So Mark's got Reggie Scanlon from the Radiators and Papa Molly. Papa Molly is also going to do another show, which is going to have kind of roots rock reggae vibe. You know, he came from the Killer Bees, and that was his thing in Austin.
For sure.
And that's when I first found Malcolm. Many years ago.
He's a good dude too.
Yeah, and then I'll just round out the music thing by Sunday. We have, you know, Sonny Landreth is performing, who's one of my favorite guitar players probably in the world. He and one of his band members during the pandemic, they had some health issues not necessarily related to the pandemic, but I'm so happy that they're back. They're just starting to tour. I think he took 2 years off. So it's really cool that he's performing again. Maggie Kerner, who's kind of a local favorite, who formerly sang with Galactic and is now kind of on her own and doing her thing. Curly Taylor is coming in from Lafayette. We always try to have a Zydeco element. I guess the long and short of it is we really try to have something for everybody. It's kind of diverse programming. I think we pride ourselves on trying to find something for everybody, whether it's Latino music or funk or jazz or something international. Or the up-and-comer, that's a singer-songwriter. So we try to really spread the love, if you will. Yeah,
really exciting. Mm-hmm. That's cool. It's a great lineup, friends.
Thank you.
Let's kind of give the food. We got a few minutes left, guys. Let's give the food the same treatment. And Kelsey, let me start with you, man. Like, where do you want to go eat when you get out and escape from behind the crawfish boil?
Well, that's actually part of my favorite. It's part of my favorite things to do at Boogaloo's when I get a chance to sneak away from the food booth and go see the other food vendors. I'll definitely be hitting up Mid-City Pizza, Bub's Burgers, and we like to do little trades here and there. We're like, hey, you want some burgers for crawfish or pizza for crawfish? And discovering, making new friends at other food booths, and if we see something we like, we kind of,
it's
barter
good.
And...
It's a great way to introduce yourself, right? Come over with a tray of crawfish.
Yeah.
You make friends that way.
Absolutely. Oh, trust me. Everybody wants crawfish.
Yeah, that's exciting. Well, Tony, do you want to highlight a couple food vendors?
Absolutely.
For
us? Well, you know, every year when I would work it, I would always eat at Boswell's. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that's actually one of our longtime vendors who won't be returning this year. It turns out he's actually leased his business. He looks like he's looking to get out, and we'll miss you, Boswell. But there's this new Jamaican place that just opened up a brick and mortar in St. Claude called Jamaican Jerk House.
Yeah.
And man, their jerk chicken is just killer, and they're going to be bringing out oxtails. So I'm really excited about trying that. And you know, I can no longer eat gluten, which is kind of challenging with the work that I'm doing. But I'm really stoked that Soleil Cafe came to us, brick and mortar on I think that's Banks as well, perhaps. At any rate, they actually have New Orleans classics, and they're all gluten-free and vegan. So I get to have little beignet fries and bread pudding bites, you know.
So that's exciting. So there's food for everybody out
there
too. You got veg, you got vegan. Got protein, got the whole thing.
And crawfish.
I know Jared's going to be chasing down that empanadas. It's one of his favorites.
It's easy to grab and go, and I'm on the run.
Exactly. You know, Jay Seafood Doc is also coming back with char-grilled oysters and oysters creole and barbecue shrimp and grits. And, man, it's just one of my favorites in town. So we're so excited to have him back. But there's an incredible food lineup. You can just check it out at thebayouboogaloo.com under food vendors.
Okay.
It should be up and running here in a couple days.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, let's do this, y'all. We got about 2 minutes left before we got to close out the portion of the radio show. Three of you are sticking around for our podcast only segment, Another Shot with Noah Drinks, where we will continue the conversation. You can go to noahdrinks.com to check that out. But Jared, let's give people the key information that they need to know to attend Bayou Boogaloo coming up here shortly.
Well, thank you. And as Tanya just mentioned, certainly go to the website, thebayouboogaloo.com. Just Google Bayou Boogaloo and we'll come up. We're also implementing an app this year. So I think we're going live on that like momentarily within the next 24 hours. So push it out there that people can download the app, because we're really trying to get away from printing schedules. It ends up becoming litter at some point. People throw it away. I'm trying to keep the neighborhood clean as we can. And so we encourage people to download the app, to get the map, to get the lineup, to get the schedule, sign up for notifications that we can put out there during the event. So we encourage people to do that. Am I missing anything, Tanya? I think that's where most of the information will be posted.
And you sure. Opening day for the time the gates open on Friday, Saturday.
Friday, the gates open at 4:30 on May 20th. So that's good. May 20th through 22nd, by the way, are the dates.
And what about Instagram and all that good stuff?
Instagram, Facebook, yes, Bayou Boogaloo.
Bayou Boogaloo. Uh-huh. Find it pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Buy tickets online, right?
Buy tickets online, okay. And
Buy them before they go up.
Yeah. So that's great. Good point. So the prices will go up day of, so buy them early. And, you know, I just want everybody to know, because it's a little bit of a change for us this year, and in the vein of being creating a safer event, there will be metal detectors implemented this year. You will be forced through gates for checkpoints, and everybody that's in the water this year will need to have a wristband of some sort, whether you have a weekend pass or a day pass. So, you know, keep that in mind. Plan ahead. The boat entrance will be under the Dumaine Bridge. And for those folks that would like to bring a barge or raft, you will have a designated area to load that equipment. I encourage you to get in touch with us in advance, schedule that.
It's all on the website.
Get your
right?
deposits and you know, have a good time.
Cool, awesome. Really quick, 15 seconds, James. Where do we find you when you're not at the festival, man?
Okay, yeah, you can find us over at the restaurant, 4323 Bienville, right in between Carrollton and City Park Avenue.
What's the website?
Website is www.clessycatering.com.
Awesome. Friends, these guys are going to stick around for another shot with Nola Drinks. If you are listening on the radio, I do appreciate it. Remember to be kind to one another, use your turn signal, and until next time, cheers, y'all. Everybody, hey, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Nola Drinks. We're going to bounce right back over to our conversation with Jared, James, and Tanya, talking about all things Bayou Boogaloo, including giving you a little bit of history and talking about the cultural importance of Bayou St. John in New Orleans. It's a great place if you're not from the area or you've just never been there for some reason. It's really awesome, and so glad that the festival's back doing what they're doing, but we're going to keep talking with them all about it. Here we go. All right, everybody, up another shot with Nola Drinks. Thanks for sticking around, friends. As you know, we're chatting here with Jared, James, and Tanya from Bayou Boogaloo, the fantastic festival coming up Friday, May 20th through Sunday, May 22nd on Bayou St. John. It's a lot of fun, friends, and looking forward to it. Coming back in full force, and Jared, let me ask you this question. Well, let me ask you a couple questions right off the gate. So I know you guys did kind of a scale-back event, as you said, last year, and then, like everybody, took 2020 off. What does it just mean to you and all y'all? What does it mean to you to get back to doing this full tilt? And I know it's a lot of work, but what does it mean to you personally to get back to doing it and doing it the way you want to do it?
Personally, I'm realizing that I'm getting older. And, you know.
In other words, he's tired.
You know.
We're tired.
It's the recovery takes longer after, right?
It's a heavy lift. It really is, you know. I always try to remind people that it's probably one of the harder locations to do an event because it's so open and there's a lot going on. There's residents to consider. There's businesses to consider. And so when you talk about closing down streets, especially Orleans Avenue, you know, bus routes and all that, I mean, there's a lot to coordinate. And so it's a lot of I's and a lot of T's. And so my publicist that works with us always, you look so unhappy. I'm like, you don't realize what's going on. in the background. But anyway,
the outward facing stuff, everybody's happy and smiles.
That's what's important, that they don't know what's really going on. But we're super happy. I mean, Bayou St. John is just a unique setting for an event. I like to think that we're one of the most unique events in the city, being that you can be on the water enjoying the music. I mean, French Quarter Fest, you can argue, is probably the biggest and baddest mother there is out there, where you're along the waterway, the Mississippi River, you know. But this is one you can actually get in. And so I think that's what really makes us unique. Mid-City is a convenient neighborhood to get to from all parts of the city.
Jared, sorry, because we have a lot of people who listen to the podcast that are actually not in the area.
Uh-huh, sure.
And so can you tell people, give us a couple-minute, you know, flavor of what is Bayou St. John? Because I think a lot of people are probably going, this sounds really nice.
Yeah.
But don't know what it is.
Thanks for asking. Yeah. You know, Bayou St. John, you know, historically, it's one of the reasons why New Orleans became what it is, because it was a trading route, really. So, you know, just going back a little further, you know, when they were exploring this area and coming up the Mississippi River from the Gulf of Mexico, they found this passage, and the Native Americans actually showed the explorers how to get to the Mississippi River faster than coming up through the mouth via Lake Pontchartrain, and thus Bayou St. John, where they would bring their goods through Bayou St. John, and it's called a portage historically, and then they would bring the goods up to the Mississippi River, and it saved them a lot of time and probably a lot of heartache. So that's why New Orleans, from what we understand historically, this waterway made it unique for trading.
Because you could get from the lake and basically get your stuff to the quarter. To the
quarter. Right, exactly. So So it's a historic waterway.
Yes, it was called Bayou Chupik. And at that time, New Orleans was also called Bubancha, for those that may not know.
Oh, good one. Yeah. Awesome. So it's historically important, and it's aesthetically beautiful, right? I mean, it runs through the neighborhood there and
it's Mid-City. It's a state designated historic waterway and stream. And, you know, I remember coming to that area as a kid and going, you know, what is this? Not knowing. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure. This looks very attractive. But I think over the years, really, and I pride ourselves on, and people remind me of this, is that, you know, the festival really engaged people into Bayou St. John again. And I think I hear that a lot, that, hey, it picked up the recreational aspects of Bayou St. John, and people were more interested in the environmental aspect of it. So, you know, our organization is a 501c3 organization, and so we do annual monthly cleanups. I'm sorry.
So this is Friends of Bayou St. John.
Friends of Bayou St. John, right. And so we do some cleanups. We've helped plant some Christmas trees post-Christmas for some habitat for wildlife there. And so we're working on some other stuff. As a matter of fact, we just commissioned a group to help us with a visioning study for Bayou St. John. So we have some far-reaching goals. You know, the bulkhead along the bayou was built during the works era, and it hasn't been touched 70 years?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we really want to bring that to light and be the mouthpiece that this waterway is important to our area, and we should invest a little more in it. And I'm hoping that our organization just kind of brings that to light, and hopefully somebody funds it down the road and does some more improvements. It's lined with oak trees now. Formerly, I mean, many years ago, it had cypress trees. It was a cypress swamp, you know, the whole Mid-City area. Why also it's is significant because during World War II, the Higgins boats were tested in Bayou St. John Lake Pontchartrain. If you look at the old photos, you'll see the Higgins boats. You'll see that there were camps and houseboats all on Bayou St. John. So it's kind of interesting to dig into the history of it.
Really cool. And so that's the Friends of Bayou St. John is the beneficiary of the festival.
Correct.
And so I think that's why we wanted to make that connection here that, yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of great food. There's a lot of great artists out there, great musicians out there. But this is all rooted in supporting a really good cause and an important historical component to our city and our landscape and our culture.
It is. Absolutely. And it's a great neighborhood, by the way, if you're not from here. It's just, it's a spectacular place. I mean, City Park is there and the fairgrounds, obviously. And the architecture in Mid-City is pretty stunning in that neighborhood. And you have Esplanade Avenue and Ursulines Avenue that are tree lined. And so, you know, it's just a great place to live. I live in the neighborhood absolutely love it. People really use Bayou St. John to recreate these days, boating. Picnicking. You can do some tours on Bayou St. John with Kayakity Yak. They do some guided tours, and Bayou Paddle Sports operates a canoe and kayak rental business. So it's really cool.
Yeah, and you can bike there from almost anywhere in the city pretty easily, which is really cool.
Absolutely,
too.
Right on the Lafitte Greenway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you guys are probably encouraging people to like bike in alternative transportation.
Yes,
right?
Please.
We didn't really talk about that.
No.
But I think
use the Lafitte Greenway. You can rent bikes in the quarter, or you know, it's one of those places where you can come from anywhere, Lakeview, Uptown, the quarter, and use the existing bike paths and get to us.
That's really cool. Yeah. Awesome. And James, so your shop is, your restaurant is right there also. So you're a citizen of Mid-City.
Oh, yeah. I'd say the restaurant's about a mile from the festival grounds, you know, give or take block or two. But
so this is an important event for you, too, and the bayou is important to your existence as well.
I also live in the neighborhood. I live just a couple of blocks from the restaurant. And Bayou St. John is definitely a meeting point for a lot of my friends. Sometimes we just meet out there and just have some drinks on the bayou. I've actually catered some parties on the banks of the bayou. You know, people want to celebrate their graduation or their birthday and ask if we could just bring a pot out to the bayou. I say, yeah, sure, let's do it. We clean up after ourselves and everybody has a really good time. You can see all sorts of people partying out there.
Yeah, it's a great
all year long.
Yeah, that's really cool because you can hang out with your neighbors and stuff, and it's very community oriented.
Oh yeah, everybody knows Bayou St. John. Meet me at the bayou.
Yeah, you know? There you go. That's all you have to say when you have to say the St. John part. That's
it's a bayou in an urban setting. I mean, you know, that doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a really special place, friends, and it's really exciting that I'm really happy for y'all that the festival's coming back in full force this year in such a great place for such a great cause. James, do me a favor, tell people, because we're going to close out the podcast only segment here. How do we find you on the street and online, as I say, if we want to come meet crawfish? And give us a couple other menu highlights that you do at your spot, man.
Okay, yeah. So operate the restaurant, my brother and sister, and we're there every day. We're every day. Closed on Mondays. We sleep on Monday. And we're located on Bienville. 4323 Bienville, in between Carrollton and City Park. And our website is www.clessycatering.com. You can look us up. You can see our menus and all of our different services. We do a lot of catering, a lot of private parties and events. We're also developing a new event space a half mile from the restaurant on the other side of Canal Street. 139 Bottinelli, and that's been a really exciting venture we're sinking our teeth in. We do a lot of private receptions, and we do our own little mini live music events there, here and there. We try to do once a month. It's open to the public.
Cool.
Come in, and we invite local vendors and artists.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it's also available for private events.
Awesome. So, very cool. Thanks, James. Well, you'll be able to get all that. I'll make sure we link to that stuff in our show notes.
Sure.
I'll get that info from you. That'll be cool. Jared, do me a favor, man. Tell people once again, give everybody the 411 here on Bayou Boogaloo.
Yeah, go to the website, thebayouboogaloo.com. Just Google Bayou Boogaloo. It's all you need to do. We'll come up and click on that, And we'll have all the information on the website, and within a couple of days we'll have the app you can download and take that out to the festival so you can find out the map and the schedule and all that jazz.
When people are hearing this, Jared, I think the app will be out, sounds like, given the timeline.
Okay, yeah. Great. It'll be live tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is like 2 days ago. It's a time warp thing. I'll let y'all figure it out, but it should be out.
I got it. Yeah. So download the app. So we're on, Apple, Android.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the App Store.
Go
to the App Store, buy You Boogaloo. Download it in advance. You can buy tickets through the app. You can buy through the website, whatever you prefer. The prices will go up during the event, so buy early. And we have a VIP area also. It's called the Canopy Club. It's $240, and that's for all weekend, and it's catered all weekend with crawfish and pork. And what else do we do? We do a pig roast. We have a great team that schedules that, and we do lots of booze there. We do lots of booze there as well from our generous sponsors.
Awesome. So thebayouboogaloo.com, that's the nexus for information.
That is.
All right, yes. Cool. Hey, thanks, all three of you. Really appreciate you being here today and look forward to seeing you at the festival.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. Friends, a brief musical interlude, and I'll be back to close things out. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show, friends, this week. Happy to have had you here as always. Yeah, you know that. Really fun chatting with the folks from Bayou Boogaloo. I thank them very much for taking some time out to talk to me. And also, once again, special thanks to our friends at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. As you know, this show is part of the podcast network there, and yours truly is the co-executive producer of said podcast network called Nitty Grits Podcasts. You can connect with the podcast network at the museum's website, southernfood.org. Just check out the top of the page there. You'll see a link to blog and podcasts, and it's right there. And you can also look for Nitty Grits Podcasts on Instagram and Facebook, and we'll be keeping you up to date with new shows from all the different programs on the network and some other fun stuff coming up. We're kind of ramping that up, I guess, is a good way to say the social media presence for the network. So I'm pretty excited about that. Do go check that out. And we hope to see you out at Bayou Boogaloo next week. I know I'll be out there for as much of it as I possibly can be. Looking forward to that very, very much. Great festival. And that's an important thing, right? I mean, what we talked about during the show, and let me digress slightly, as you know, we've done shows and a lot of programming with our friends at French Quarter Festival. Such an important festival that one is. Jazz Fest, obviously, back after a hiatus. Super important festival. And Bayou Boogaloo, it's become such an important festival. It's grown in stature. It's grown in size, although they're keeping it, you know, kind of their footprint comfortably the same now, which I think is a really great move. But, you know, bringing musicians back out to play is so important for our cultural economy, if you will, as well as our actual economy, because, you know, we sell hospitality and entertainment in this city. We talk about that all the time on this show. But for all the food vendors and for all the artists that are going to be out there, and just even for the sake of the neighborhood, it's a great fundraiser for Friends of Bayou St. John. Such an important, yet another important festival and event that's now back in action here in New Orleans. And it's just so great to kind of see us, you know, you start to feel it's almost like circulation is returning to our digits and our limbs as we move forward here. I guess that's kind of a weird analogy, but that's sort of how I feel. You know, you kind of felt numb for a couple years, and now that all these things are going on again, being able to get back out there and enjoy these things and enjoy our culture, enjoy our friends, our neighbors, enjoy the city itself and the region itself, it's just really important. And Bayou Boogaloo plays a really important role in that, right? Friends, a couple quick programming notes before I let you go. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking with some concierge folks from the New Orleans Concierge Association, including the president of the organization, my friend Leah Hoyt. And we're just going to talk about, you know, tourism and what it's like working as a concierge in New Orleans, and kind of even related to what I was just talking about, how important the hospitality industry is and the lodging industry is to our city. That'll be a really interesting conversation. Planned break over the Memorial Day week. Yeah, going to take my take some time off and kind of chill out a little bit. And we're working on shows as we come back in June for you. One of them we just got onto the books is we're going to be doing our annual Tales of the Cocktail preview. Now, you may remember that we had Eileen, their CEO, on, I believe, in January. I mentioned this at the top of the show. And it was kind of just to let you know some broad stroke stuff.
broad strokes stuff. Sure, yeah, easy for me to say about Tales of the Cocktail coming back in person, full force, all that good stuff in July, just like all those other stuff we've been talking about, right? Another really important event for the city. But if you're a regular listener of the show, and you know this if you've heard in years past, we would typically do an annual preview show much closer to the actual event, which kicks off, I believe, July 25th. And we're going to be talking more specifically about the activities that are going to be going on. They know a lot more about the seminar schedules. We'll talk about that stuff, the tasting rooms, you know, all the different brands that'll be there, the Spirited Awards, which is their awards ceremony for the industry, all kinds of really cool stuff. So I'm looking forward to sitting down with Eileen and bringing you that show. I know we're going to be back at Midnight Revival, our friends there on Frenchman Street in the Frenchman Hotel, doing some programming pretty quick, and a whole host of other stuff we're working on, friends. So be on the lookout for that. Hey, that's it here on the NOLA Drink Show. Here's to you.